You don't have to like everything we say. You don't have to listen to us.
Diego de Yankee, Ali America.
Well, I get asked quite a lot. In fact, over the years, many times, so I figured I probably should answer it since I'm still being asked. Today, we'll talk EDC Everyday Carry, answering some questions about stuff I actually carry all the time and why, and we're going to look at lifestyle, because that's one thing when people have this discussion and show what they're doing, they don't discuss lifestyle, and that's what we really need to look at to explain some things, because I get asked, you mention these things, some are silly, you admit, some are serious, how many of these do you do, why and why not? So we'll take a look at that. The other thing we're going to look, as we mentioned, podcasting. I get asked questions, people looking for a little hope, I think, that have started shows because I did mine and want to know where I'm at with it, as I've not discussed much about the results so far, which I will. I will, and I will tone it down a little bit because I don't want to piss off the company here. But there's things that are going well and things that are going badly. And then I wrote On Patrol because I got tired of writing cops. It's just to cover some things that we've learned on the last couple episodes that I got messages about, including one from Luke, where he says, I am the greatest and I don't need him anymore. That's actually not what he said, but we will take a look at that and then move on from there and some follow-on shows where we start learning how to do things like read the news. So that's what we're talking about. EDC podcasting, a little after-action review here called On Patrol right here on Gray Man, hiding in plain sight. So to begin, to be fair, to answer some of the important questions here, I don't do, obviously, all the things I talk about on here. Almost all of them I've done at some point or another, but I've mentioned before, to live that way, to live that life is extremely exhausting, stressful, anxious, boring, not what I do. So definitely not doing that these days. However, I do some of these things. But when it comes to the items you carry, one of the things we forget to look at are lifestyles. And I don't think that we necessarily forget to look at it as much as people don't talk about it. That's why when you watch, say, a YouTube video on any subject, you know, and you read the comments, you do occasionally find somebody in there that knows what they're talking about, that's an expert, that all the people that love the guy who does the show go after. But you get a lot of people, and then they call haters or whatever, saying, oh, you forgot this. Oh, you did. It's like, well, did they? Because you don't know them. You don't know what their life is. So my lifestyle is a little different. So the way it is now, which I adjust these things to based on how my life is going. So what I've been doing for the last couple of years, I travel, I don't know, 9 months, 10 months out of the year. I tow a travel trailer around with a truck, camp in National Forest, BLM land, places where I can go fishing, camping, whatever. And then I hit RV type places every once in a while, once a month or so for a few days. And then I can, you know, clean the RV, do all this stuff. So that's kind of the life. So things to consider is I'm essentially towing a house. Like, I have a lot of things with me because I do this long term. I have things with me people that do this don't carry because they're not doing it long term. So there's a lot of things I don't have to worry about whether or not I leave the house with it because it probably is with me. And that's just the trailer. And then my truck has a lot of extra things. It's designed and built around the idea of the things in there. If I didn't have my trailer, but I needed to survive or something happened, I needed to communicate or, you know, I just decide I want some coffee so I can pull over and hook up the little stove and go to town and make some hot water, you know. Things people don't always carry or even think about because their lifestyle is different. And it's me and my dog. So if you think back to the show where I talked about lines of gear, first, second, third lines, where it came from in Vietnam and what it looks like, it's not fair to call it the third line, but the third line being the most amount of possible stuff you could take on a mission with special items, that's basically what I carry in my trailer. My second line is really what I carry in my truck, some of which is designed to be added to me for things that I'm doing. And my first line is what I would carry on my person. And I freely admit to most people, I very rarely carry a firearm. There's only certain situations in which I do it. And the thing is, I actually could do it 90, 95% of the time because all the places I typically go and travel and the way I travel and as frequent as I'm there have concealed carry laws that support either the permits or they have constitutional carry or whatever. And I can do that. I just don't always do it. So the pocket dump idea doesn't come with a video. It just comes with an explanation. And I'm just going to kind of go down the list in my head because I know what they are. First one is sunglasses. I actually have these very well-made sunglasses by Costa Del Mar with these green glass lenses. You can look into them. You're looking for 580G. G is for glass, not for green. But the green lenses are better than the other ones. I've tried most of them. They don't even make a lot of the colors they used to now. It's like seeing the world in high definition. And being glass, they're super strong. They're way more durable and have lasted longer than any plastic ones, even like high-end glasses. The only high-end kind of plastic shooter-type glasses I've never used long-term are gators, so I don't know how long those will last, but I still think these ones would beat them out. I'm on my second pair because my first one lasted for years and things started falling apart and didn't realize I could send them in to get fixed, so I bought a second pair. And then just the other day, they fell off my bed onto the floor. I didn't see them. And then where my Starlink, it's in a hard case, where it was sitting, slipped, fell on the floor. I just picked it up and moved it. Went outside, came back in, looked down, saw my glasses, picked them up, and it had landed right on them, and one of the glass lenses shattered, which it's a pretty heavy case. I've dropped things on the glasses before and not damaged them, so I was like, oh, shit. So now I'm wearing these. I don't think they're Costas. I don't know what they are. They're like a backup pair of regular sunglasses, so I have to have something. I always wore them in the military a lot. You know, it was real sunny overseas when you're in the Middle East, and then I went to Arizona after that. I was wearing them a lot. But I also had issues with migraines and headaches, and I found that certain types of lights, I think they're incandescent or fluorescent, whatever they are, those long kind of tube lights in offices actually bother me, the frequency range and light waves, so I wear these a lot. So I always have them, and I usually always have a second pair, and I'm known for wearing them a lot, of pictures of me with them. When I worked down in Arizona, I always had them on and freaked people out because they couldn't see my eyes as though that means something because they can't. Most people can't tell what you're doing by your eyes anyway. So there's that. That's like the big thing. The next thing after that, that I have to constantly check because I carry it, but I have to constantly like reload. Like imagine if you were being a, say a gun range, because I said reload, you're a gun range, right? You need bullets to shoot. So what do you have to do? You shoot and then you have to reload. So something I have to reload constantly are doggy bags. Cause I have a dog, I walk her. I need to have the bags. I actually get irritated finding piles of dog crap everywhere. People don't pick up or take care of, and that is an important EDC item that I have that I keep on me, and then I have them in the door of the truck, extra ones, so when I get her out I see them, and a lot of times I'll just tap, check my pockets, be like, yep, I need some more. And I always try to carry at least two, because I have two types, just because I'm not on no special reason, just what I ended up buying with. The ones I like are, they have like little handles like a shopping bag, but they're smaller. Those I prefer, and they're in a box in the door, so I always have two to five on me because I just pinch a few out of there. And then the other ones I have are in a roll with a rubber band on them, which I'm using right now that I keep in my pocket that's going to last for a while. So that's another important item. Another thing I carry is a pocket knife. The pocket knife I carry is by Fall Raven. It's the gentleman's pocket knife, just really nice heavy-duty knife. I always like having some sort of pocket knife on me. I don't carry like some big tactical knife or anything like that. I use it just about every day. You know, I've opened boxes with it. I've cleaned my fingernails with it. I've cut rope, cut cordage, stripped wires with it. I've used it for apples or small things. I don't use it like when I'm cooking because I have plenty of knives, but if I'm just getting apples or something like that and I need to cut something up, I'll do it. There's times where I'm like, I just want to eat a tomato, and I grab a tomato and cut it up with that knife, salt and pepper it. So it's really just a small, like, everyday utility knife that I use that I like to keep around on me. After that, I have my keys. And this is important because I have the truck, I have the trailer. They both have door locks on them, and I have several keys on, well, not several, I only have three keys on there. Actually, correction, I changed that. I only have two keys on there now. I have a key to the truck, which I don't actually need because of the way the key fob works, but it's built into the key fob, so I don't count that one. Then I have a key to the cover on my truck, and I have a key to my trailer, which opens most of the doors. All my other keys that I need for different things, for locks or places I visit or wherever, are kept separately hidden in the truck, but I have those on me because I'm using those every day. You know, when I'm at an RV park, if it's on a military base, I don't worry too much about locking doors if I'm just going to do a lap around the park. You know, like when I'm out in the woods, of course, I lock everything up. Another thing I have is my wallet, and it's more of what they call a minimalist wallet. What all is in there depends on what I'm doing for how long. So I don't carry a whole lot when I go hiking, except for identification, a couple pieces of important identification, like, for example, a VA card, because if something was to happen and somebody was to find me and they saw I'm VA, that's essentially my insurance card. But I carry a few other things like that, but I don't care. I can go hiking carrying a ton of money or a ton of credit cards, stuff I could lose that's important. I don't do that. But when I'm traveling, you know, or in or around a town, I do have those things on me. How much doesn't matter, but it's along the lines of what I've said before. It's very minimal, just what I need. I have extras with me stored and locked in places if I need them for emergencies. I just carry what I need on me all the time. And then, of course, I have to essentially reload, refill the money supply as needed, whether I have to go to a bank to do that or it's what I have extra so that I have that cash. And the funny thing is all the things in there, the one thing I value the most is my Costco card, because I do every month. That's like my main shopping experience. I go there first, and then whatever else I need, I go hit up a grocery store or somewhere else to buy it. The next thing I carry is kind of funny. I don't even know what the name for it is. I was on YouTube recently, saw there's a name for this, which I was like, oh, people are trying to write this off like it's this new cool thing, and what can you do? And they're making all these, and it's just stupid. They're making all these videos acting like this new cool thing for something that's been going on for literally decades, more than my entire life. I knew people when I was a child that did this. In the military, well, I don't know, they do so much by email and phone now, who knows, but they used to always, this was mandatory. You had to carry these items, you met and used them several times a day, and they're just great to have. And that's a notebook and a pen. And all I carry is, because I use it so much, is I carry these little 3x5 notebooks. You can go to Walmart and get them, they're real cheap. There's like three of them for $2 with quite a few pages in there. And I keep a rubber band around it because it's a cheap notebook, soft cover. You know, it's going to open up and all this other stuff, but the rubber band slows that process down dramatically. And then a pen. And I just carry, like, I have lots of nice pens, but doing this so much, I just carry a Pilot, like G2, 1mm. I like the broader pens. And I use it a lot. I mean, I make grocery lists in there, maintenance lists, cross things off as I do them, like little to-do lists, packing lists, things I need to check, you know, shopping. I've got things. And I have several notebooks I use at once. I have one I carry on me all the time. It's like my little everyday thing. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to buy this. I need to clean this. Don't forget this, that kind of thing, just to have it. But the other ones I have that I don't carry on me that I keep in those little books that are things I'll update are just like financial plans or long-term plans, things like that. And then I have a slew of other bigger notebooks with more important things in them, but that's the kind of stuff that I use that notebook for. Now, that's actually the complete and full list of the things that I keep on me. But additional items I have to that I will use daily or more than just weekly, but maybe not every day. That would be like what you might call your second line of items that I keep nearby are, for example, I have, depending on the time of year, I rotate jackets out. Something would be considered a jacket. Depending on the time of year, one of the things that'll be in a pocket of these jackets will either be a pair of gloves or a beanie hat. And then I always have another beanie in my truck I can get to at any point. And I always have some sort of sweatshirt or lighter jacket I can keep in my truck that I have access to that I might use almost every day or multiple times a week, depending on what it is. Another thing I have that I used to use a long time ago, I bought a newer one, is I can't think of what they're actually called. Most people call them a fanny pack, but it's a decent one. But it's a basic thing I take with me that I have if I do any long distance hiking or if I need to do a lot of stuff around the camp where I need the items in it. This thing contains some of the basic survival type stuff that I might need if I'm out and get lost or get stuck, or I just need around a campsite out at some campground when I'm putting things together. And it's got several things in there, including multiple ways to start fire, multiple things to get a fire and keep it going, signal mirror. There's some hydration salts, some signaling stuff. There's like a ferro rod and a blast match. I ain't got a pair of tweezers in there. There's some moleskin. There's some just real basic little things you would need over a few days if you were to hike and that's all you had or got stuck or whatever. Additionally, there's like a monocular in there. It's not super powerful, but it's one I keep in case I need it. And if I have that and I'm carrying that, I'll carry a larger knife. Usually one of my Tahoma knife or something. Along the lines of what somebody would call a survival knife, I'll carry with me, or a hatchet. But typically it'll be the knife. Another thing that I have is a little utility pouch, I call it. that I carry sometimes. It has a few items in there, but its main purpose that I carry it for is a lot of times when I'm hiking, I find things, and I'm not talking about trash, things worth keeping. And I even find them around campgrounds all the time. Like I find, of course, trash, but the number one thing I find that's not trash at campgrounds are tent stakes. I've found like headlamps, clothing. I've found toys, all kinds of stuff. I found nuts and bolts and screws and cooking utensils. And I just pick these things and I stick them in that pouch. And that's really all it's for. It's like a scrounging pouch. It's not that big. It's like, I don't know, 6 or 7 inches square. So if I'm going to be out for a few hours and not too far from campsite, then I'll carry that. Another thing I have is a small backpack that I'll carry. This will take on longer hikes. It'll have the 100 ounces of water, a few other survival items, miscellaneous things in there. It's actually something that's on my list I need to go through before my next long-term excursion, because I haven't gone through it in a while, and I know that because when I can't picture and or name pretty much everything in there, I know I haven't been in there enough that I need to go through it again and make sure I have everything. Another thing I carry, and in there too, is some actual trauma medical stuff. Another thing I carry, though, is a small first aid kit, you know, bandages and basic painkiller stuff that fits in a cargo pocket that's really small that I'll carry most of the time whenever I leave, like the domicile here or any of that kind of stuff. It's overly simple, but that's really about it. There's not a lot I need. I have so much of it close by, and I have things set up almost kind of modularly based on what I need. And, you know, and essentially I've got the RV, all the clothing, all that other stuff. Anything I can need is, it's really close by. I can just grab it. So it's very simple for me. And then other type, like in my truck, there's a lot of like camping type stuff that I keep in my truck all the time I can get to, and like, you know, rubber boots if I need them, if it's muddy, and more signaling stuff and flares and, you know, automotive repair stuff, that kind of thing, all that kind of stuff I've got. So for the podcasting piece, I got an email. I got two of them actually. Well, one was just wanting to know how things were going. The other one was fairly lengthy, but asking about stats and ideas and how to improve theirs and how mine is going, and something that gives them a little hope, as they said. I don't know that I'm the person you should come to say how to do it better, especially with all the big gaps I had in the last like year and a half. But there's plenty of stuff out there. Just remember, like anything, like when I talk about training, people are telling you what's worked for them, whether they admit that or not. There are some things that are probably best practices, and some things change all the time. Like, you know, it's only till about the last year where people started having really good thumbnails on YouTube, but it's because it took them 2-3 years to catch up to what everybody was saying about having them and getting the results. But then some of them aren't getting the results now. It's because the thumbnails don't really matter anymore because of the autoplay. Like when you have the autoplay feature on YouTube and the shorts and a lot of these other stuff, it doesn't matter. People aren't even paying attention to them. So, you know, if you want to get ahead of the curve, you want to look at the people that are talking about what they're doing that are way ahead of everybody else. So like on YouTube, Mr. Beast obviously being the biggest channel, but you find the top 20 guys and things they're doing to keep things going and keep an improvement that sound like they're against what everybody else is saying. Well, these guys, it's because they're the innovators. They already see the writing on the wall. These are things that are going to happen. So when it comes to podcasting, you know, I've got the other show I did, a podcast about podcasts that can be helpful to you. But I've been doing this for, I don't know, 3 years or something like that. Things I wish I'd done differently that were asked. One of them is you can do like seasons and episodes. I noticed a lot of people, when I looked around, see how they did seasons. Their seasons might not have a lot of shows. They might do actually in a 12-month calendar year several seasons, because they theme them based on storytelling, like a lot of people that do like true crime or documentary type stuff. You know, some people have 500 shows in a season. Based on the amount of shows that I have, which I'm around 175, I wish I'd have just done it. No seasons and just numbered the episodes. So I'd be like, you know, this episode would probably be like 175 or 180, 170, whatever. And it would have been a lot easier to reference and keep a catalog so I can tell people where to go, especially because there's certain episodes I remember the names of pretty easily, whereas other ones, like if I say something about body language, I did so many, I'd have to go through, find every single one. Once I know the talk about it, listen to them, figure it out. From the beginning, I wish I would have just done the numbering system without seasons. For me, that would have worked better, and then made a catalog with a little bit more of a description of what I put on the show, saying here's what's in there, if you need that for what you're doing. So that's something to look at. As far as the progress of the show, has done pretty well. I mean, I had been gone for so long, and I had people, of course, leave, new people show up. You know, I had The only time I had anybody like an outcry or outburst from the crowd was actually when I did Two Truths and a Lie, when I did the last one. Because even though I mentioned hearing crickets, I was more about the response and the things on what was going on with there. I actually did hear from some people. It was kind of funny. So they were from both sides of the political aisle. So they're like conservative people that were mad about what I said. I guess I could say what I informed them about when it came to the whole collusion thing and calling me a left-wing hack and whatever, stuff like that. But at the same time, then there was, you know, extremists like left-wing dudes that were mad because of how science works and, you know, what manufacturers say about the masks, but they're trying to say that's not real. And they don't, it'd be funny if they could have seen each other accusing me of being part of the other team. Then they could have fought each other over it and tried to decide who was right or wrong and left me out of it. But that was the only really thing. And that was only, I don't know. I mean, what I could tell was a small drop of 50, 60, 80 people, but it was increasing enough of viewers that it didn't really matter. As far as houses goes now, I can tell you, like, one of the questions I got out about is money. And I know some people on YouTube do this and they go over their analytics. The analytics aren't as detailed as YouTube, nor are they as good. In fact, of everything you can find when it comes to this specific Spotify thing for the podcasters is, I don't know, there's only a few pieces and almost all of them are worthless. They're just there for a visual entertainment. And at this point, none of them sync up. So you get like one showing your ads, one showing your earnings, but they mathematically don't match what you get paid. And then you have an overall one that updates quicker, but it never totals what those do. And then you can have ones where it shows, oh, you did so many thousands today, but you didn't make no money. So it's like, okay, so you expect me to believe that I had, you know, 2,500 listens today, but, you know, which totals about 4,000 total ads, but I didn't get paid for any of those. And it's because they kind of, the last 18 months, they've been nickel and diming us. So like years ago, this was big in the news for a while, people talking about Spotify, musicians and rich ones, about not getting paid fairly. And people come out and make fun of them. Or I was a Neil Diamond or somebody was like, I'm pulling my music. People are like, who is this guy? You know, they're making fun of these guys because in their head, they're thinking, you've got millions of dollars. What are you complaining about? Well, people don't understand how that industry works. Like when I took copyright law in college, one of the things I learned was how little money they make and who really makes the money and how they get paid. You know, like tours, you lose money almost all the time. The only way you usually make money on tour is merchandising sales, which is bigger now. And they could make it, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. The other thing, too, is A&R reps, you know, if you listen to the radio, you know that when somebody's coming to town, you hear about it sometimes for weeks ahead of time, and you hear their music more and more and more. It's because their A&R reps go there. I think it's the A&R reps that do it. Push these guys and whatever they need to do to give them free tickets and get them to play the music more, because that playing that music, part of what they get out of that is it goes to the publishing companies, which is ASCAP and BMI, which pays the publishers who really own the music, and then pays out the artist. But if it's a band, it doesn't mean all the artists are getting paid equally. It really matters who wrote it. That's why there's always been stories in the past about, you know, a 5-member rock band and only one guy's rich. It's, well, he did all the work. Not the other guys aren't getting paid fairly or are getting paid fairly. They just weren't the guys that did the music, and that's where the majority of the money comes from. Anyway, that's kind of the background. Kind of a lot to it there. So the idea is, just like Taylor Swift recently released a bunch of songs that she'd already done, re-released them or whatever. The reason she did that is they were owned essentially by the record label. That's what people don't realize. You don't own that music almost ever unless you're self-published. The publishers own it, the record labels own it. They make most of the money. So whatever change and ownership and blah, 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 she gets to re-release that stuff and start to make some of that money back that was never hers, that should have been hers in the first place, but that's how the game's played. So when it comes down to, and that's all regulated, like there's all rules and laws for it. So when it comes down to these electronic services, you know, if you go back and look at like Napster and all that stuff, that was really not about fairness. And all these artists get on, we need to be paid fairly and we're being pirated, when they kind of were, kind of weren't, depending on the situation. Now, it was really big business trying to take it over so that they could dictate how they got paid more money. So this industry, when it comes to digital services, it's not regulated when it comes to like music and podcasting. They all pay differently. They all get to do it differently, and they can nickel and dime you. So when they say, oh, they're doing this to us as a musician, it wasn't wrong. It was true. They're notoriously pay low. That's why one of the biggest things I was worried about when they took over from Anchor was like, oh man, they're going to nickel and dime us. And my show was already starting to grow. So that is to say this. On one hand, I average about $1,000 a month. It's about what I make. However, I have mathematically figured it out after every change on exactly what the changes were that I've tracked and can prove, exception of the last couple little ones. It's so innocuous and vague, and that because they now made it to where none of the analytics match up, I can't do the math on it. But it's probably 50 to 75% of the number I'm going to give you, which is this number. I make about 21 cents on the dollar for what I did when it was Anchor, meaning this. If it was still Anchor, the size of my show now, I'd be making probably around $5,000 a month, $4,000 to $5,000. So people say, well, why don't you switch? Well, I'm looking into that, but I'm also busy with a lot of stuff too, and I got to figure out how that works and get that all sorted. So there's that, but the show does grow, and there are things like they're showing. I think all of them do these. Some of them I know do them. Like I know Apple does this, but one of the things Spotify shows you is, for example, is just like they call on YouTube getting reward for the algorithm. They all have something like that. So one of the things they show you is how many times your impressions are for other people, meaning when they go on Spotify and they can see it. So it tells me like, hey, when people were searching for whatever, here's how many times you showed up in the search results. You know, so a lot of times if you're doing better and people started, say they started typing GRA, then Gray Man Concepts comes up. You know, eventually if I was big enough, they just putting in the letter G, it could come up right away. You know, and that helps. And then how many people that are subscribers in whatever area, you know, how many impressions you're getting because of when they go into the app and they see recommended stuff, yours is there, you know, but that doesn't tell you how far down on the list it is. So depending on if your phone or website, you might, you know, on a phone, you might see two recommendations because it scrolls left to right. Whereas on a website and a computer, you might see seven of them. So it's not all bad. There's a positive things about it. The money thing is really kind of irritating. It's definitely true what people have always said. It's funny. They have one of the best sound qualities out there of all the streaming services. Them and Apple have the best sound qualities by far. But they're tied with Pandora and how poorly they pay people. If they ever really tried to push to regulate this like they did other things with the music industry, it would not only take a long time, this would be one of the main companies that would fight it. And it's because they were already making money, but they were just took more of it away in this. So to them, they would be losing. And they do kind of shitty things. For example, one of the first things they did when they took over was we got paid like, I think like 15 cents on CPM or whatever. And they went, oh, we're going to pay you more for the ads that play on Spotify. Right? That's what they said. Like, it's a reward, but it was a lie. That's not what they did. We were already getting paid 15, and that's what we kept getting paid. In fact, that's what I get paid right now, 15 cents for an ad on Spotify. But on everything else, which for me was about 75 or what was it? I have it written down somewhere. It was like 80, 82% of my listens were on other platforms that were getting 15. But the day they split, they dropped it down to 10. And then it went up and down between 11 and 12 and 10 multiple times. That's just one example, one of the things they did. So 75%, one of the things I do know is 75% of my listens at the time, my revenue dropped by like 40%. And then there's other things too about how often they play ads and going back and forth on that. You know, they just did a recent change trying to tell people it's an industry standard. When it isn't, they're the only ones that are doing it. And they cut revenue again by 40%. And that was at the beginning of October. So it's, yeah, it's, that's why on Twitter I go on there and see people all the time talking about they're leaving it. And it's because of this kind of stuff. But the show's growing. That's the thing too. If you think about all that being cut in the last 18 months, and I'm making roughly 20% of what I would have been a year and a half ago. At the same time, if you look at the dollar amount, it's overall increased because the viewership or listenership has gone up quite a bit. So that's been helpful. You know, the things that are sucky are like when it was Anchor, everything was real time or within a few minutes. You get updates on everything within 10 minutes. And you could see like every 6 to 10 minutes it would update, tell you how many people had listened, and you could do the math and see the payment was there, and you could have cashed out that money right away if you wanted to. Now everything's delayed. Certain things happen multiple times a day. Certain analytics are now 3 days behind if they even update correctly. They change the wallet feature on how you're getting paid out, constantly change it to make it more confusing. None of it's to our benefit whatsoever. It's for them. And then they don't update correctly. I have stuff that hasn't updated in a while, and I'll be talking to them here soon because it's been a huge, huge problem figuring out what's going on. But it's, it's become more confusing. And I sometimes wonder because I send them screenshots, detailed screenshots of old information when it was anchor, when they first tank over, that they tried to change and say this is how it was. They'll change things back temporarily, but it goes away, and then they update terms of service or something. And I'm like, am I actually, to try to get one thing fixed, telling them why, showing them why it's correct and should be fixed, are they then going in and doing whatever they need to make it the way they really want it so nobody can argue anymore? Am I actually making the problem worse? Probably not. My show's overall small. I mean, $1,000 sounds good, but it's still a really small show. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm making it worse or really helping or not. So I'm just kind of biding my time here to see what happens as I research a possible change. If I did change, though, I mean, they have the simple thing everybody else does where the whole show jumps somewhere. So it's not like any of this would disappear. It'd still be here. You'd still see it show up, like if you're on Spotify or Pocket Cast or Podcast Addict, wherever you're at, it'd still be there. You just wouldn't know that it's coming from company B instead of company A, but it would still look the same to you. I'm trying to take pauses here. To me, when I go play it back, I can't really hear it that loud, but there, I'm in Utah and there's Air Force bases flying around, or Air Force airplanes at an Air Force base flying around, but I'm not so close to it. They're right over my head with the F-35s. So another thing he'd asked about is subscriptions and why I don't do them, or if I will do them. And, you know, Patreon, I talked about before. So I've considered it. Here's how I look at it. One is Patreon has the tier system people use, and you can charge different amounts of money. You know, some people charge a higher amount for like tier one service or whatever they call it, like personal one-on-one things. Looking at how people do that, I don't have any intention of putting the time in to provide that kind of thing just to make a little more money. To do that, I'd have to make this a full-time job, which if I ever do, it won't be while I'm traveling. It'll be once I buy a house again and, you know, maybe do it that way. So the other way to do it would be just right through this platform, which they have that option. And so the thing is, here's how it works, and I'll tell you what it would take for me to do it. Basically, how it works is if you were subscribing, first thing is you wouldn't hear ads anymore. You would never even know if there was ads on there because you wouldn't hear them. The next thing is I can take any future or current podcast I've already recorded and say, I want that to be a subscription one. And then everybody could see them, but only the subscribers could play them. And there are ones I would consider doing that on, or ones I would consider doing them differently. Like when I did ones like on China and Taiwan or Finland or the upcoming Ukraine one, you know, I'd do like a video if I had like graphics or something. So to make it worth it, it'd be what extra am I going to do to make it worth these people to pay money? And so things I've considered are doing videos or doing discussions like I used to do on YouTube, but actually having a camera on, or some of the stuff I've done on YouTube before, do it here. Like if I did one of those ones like China and Taiwan and show some maps and graphics and whatever, make a video like that or talk through something. Another thing I've considered too is when I did the website and people liked it, when I would do those Intel reports, is I've considered going back to doing that again. I'd be willing to put the time into that. And I could do something every day or multiple times a week. They're very short, saying here's something that went on in the world and here's why it's important, what to look at, how to check it out, which I've thought more and more about based on some of these upcoming shows to help people understand that information that people liked. And when I was doing that on the website, I mean, people back then when I was having people pay there were like, you're charging a pittance. Like people charge a lot of money for this. I'm like, yeah, I know. So for me to turn subscriptions on, I would have to do something extra that made it worth it to you, that I thought really made it worth it. So it need to be stuff that's not, doesn't matter how easily or hard this is to find any of this information on your own. It's, I mean, what I can't look at it like, what would I pay for? Because obviously a lot of stuff I'd never pay for, I already know it, but like what would make it worth somebody to pay that money? And then try that out for a while, for a few months, to see if that was really working. And that'd be what it would take. Now for the on patrol, I don't even know why I picked that. So this was in regards to the show I did, cops, like disguises in Civil War. And in the cops section, it was about the guy who was at the convenience store and the police officer detective would contact him from the other town. You don't need a lawyer. Come on down. And the bad lawyer is like, yeah, go ahead. Call me if you get arrested, because that's the only way I make money. It was all over $20. So, and I mentioned then that Luke could have something to say. And Luke sent me a message. He said it was a great segment on the last episode. Couldn't have said it better. Love this one. Like the questions, topic covered, great format. Which he doesn't do that all the time. He does it on the ones he really likes. And so it's been like the second time. I guess the other ones were only mediocre. But it's, it probably, Like if we were doing it live, me and Luke, and we'd had these questions, I'm sure it would have been a more in-depth discussion. And perhaps we will have one like that again in the future. But he's been a career law enforcement officer, municipal to federal level in Canada for years, and he has plenty to say on this stuff and plenty of knowledge there. So he definitely is an expert I go to for law enforcement that I know personally. Oh, these airplanes are killing me, but I got to try to finish this up. So sorry. So somebody else written this before, maybe another one, and this was in response to that same episode, but it actually had to do with two truths and a lie, and I'm going to share this with you now because we will be covering more of this type of stuff in the next few upcoming episodes. But in the middle here, he says, let's see. For two truths and a lie, the reveal at the end was, okay. So remember that four series, two truths and a lie, and I mentioned in there, there's always one guy. This is the one guy or girl. This is the one who figured out what's really going on here. It was eye-opening. I felt like the prison story rang more false, but wasn't sure which one was the false story. It goes back to what I was saying. Everybody looks for the false one. They don't look for the true one. It's just part of our nature. Who's lying, not who's telling the truth. The revelation that both were actually lies and the explanation provided on why one would sound more true than the other allowed me to realize a few things about the way I interpret stories and process conversations. That statement is the entire purpose of that exercise. It has nothing to do with detecting deception abilities, although those are usually evaluated when I teach the course and that's a factor, but it's about looking at yourself. So, lost in the middle, here we go. Okay. So I'll say it again, allowed me to realize a few things about the way I interpret stories and process conversations. I even like the way that was written, allowed me. Next, you mentioned echo chambers in the media, and I'm working towards avoiding them going forward with some pushback from certain family members. Family members are always, don't talk politics with family. I mentioned TASS, it's a Russian news media, state-owned media agency the other day. He says, I mentioned TASS the other day and about got yelled at by my dad for reading Russian propaganda instead of NBC, ABC, and CBS exclusive news sources. So in all fairness, they're just as bad. They're not state controlled, but they're just as bad. And let's see. I mentioned trying to find well-rated factual right, meaning conservative news sources, so that I can find both sides and make my own decision. I was told that right, all the right does is lie because they hate real facts and the truth doesn't support them. It's funny, too, because conservatives say the same thing about liberal media. So you're going about this the right way. Two things. One, avoid the conversation with your parents. I mean, at your own peril, knock yourself out. The other thing is, don't look for factual right and factual left. There's no such thing. You're still delineating politics here and following an idea and a bias that they have, even if you don't intend to. What you're looking for are facts. Doesn't matter who wrote it. You're looking for facts of information to follow whatever story idea or something you're looking into, and you're looking for consistency of the source so that you can rate that source to determine, are they consistent enough that it matters? Not determine if they're better or if they're right or if they're wrong all the time. It's what consistency they have, because that helps you. If I know they're consistent in this way about this type of general information, I know that generally that's what I'm going to find, but at least I can look at it, because when consistency changes dramatically, that's something to take of note. And then it goes on, let's see. I've listened to most of your podcast episodes. Okay, thanks again. So one of the things I wrote to him, and this is a preview for some upcoming shows, as I said, it's hard to influence others. I probably don't talk enough about how hard it is to influence. Choosing to make more of an effort in critical thinking while also learning how easily others can be persuaded into a thought process. It's eye-opening and not always easy. For the future, remember that no matter how well articulated a point of view may be, if the listener is hearing with emotion and not reason, the conversation is going nowhere and the emotional one will eventually react by exiting in an abrupt huff, perhaps even more aggressively in some cases. It can be surprising to see what bias and ignorance can do to a person. Don't lose family over politics and don't lose yourself in the endeavor. And that's the biggest problem with that subject, especially politics. It's always hot and contentious, but now we're going into election season and people are way too emotional over that stuff and not admitting what they're really doing or what their biases are, and then you get these reactions. So those that are using emotion and have an ego involved in the situation will always overreact. And just be careful of that. And we'll talk more about that in upcoming episodes.